We were discussing the Baal Reshis Chochma, who was one of those who revered the Sefer Oches Tzadikim. As I mentioned, that he brings down the, in Perik Membov, he brings down quite a sizable chelik of the Shar Yerushimayim. Shar Yerushimayim is the last Shar in the Oches Tzadikim, which discusses all aspects of Yerushimayim. And it's quoted quite a bit of it in the Sefer Reshis Chochma. We pointed out that the Reshis Chochma was a Talmud of Ramosha Kardaviro, one of the great Balam Kabbalim of all time. And as a matter of fact, it was more than just a Rebbe Talmud relationship. They became extremely, extremely close, to the point that we mentioned that Reb Chaim Vital, the Talmud of the Arizal, said that they shared the same Shoresh Neshoma. Yoh Dividas was his name, the Reshis Chochma, with his Rebbe Reb Moshe Kordaviro, and they said that they had a nitzus, the spark of the neshama of Zechariah ben Yehoyada. And as mentioned, the being that the ikar of learning Torah is sof kol sof, not just for the intellectual exercise. The whole purpose of really of learning Torah is to be able to be a better Jew, to be able to be Mekai Mitzvah, to serve Hashem better. The Gemara says, "Gedoy l'talmud shemevi l'deimaisis," is the Gemara Kedushin. The godless, the greatness of learning is to practice it. The more a person learns, the more he's aware, the more knowledgeable he is, and then what? He's able to implement it and to make that a way of life. Torah is the derech hachayim. Torah is a way of life, and that's the purpose of learning. So being that the purpose of learning is really to be able to serve Hashem better, so the Reshit Chochma, therefore, that is what motivated him to write the Sefer Reshis Chochma, which is the Sefer Musar, to motivate people and to teach them how to serve Hashem better. Because after all, that is the whole purpose of all the study of Torah. The study of Torah and everything is ultimately to reach that plateau, to be able to be Mekayim Mitzvahs and to be Eved Hashem on a higher level. So he subdivides the Sefer Reshis Chochma in many different chalakim. He has a Shar HaYira, he has a gate that deals with Yerushimayim, he has Shar Ahava that deals with Ahavas Hashem, love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has a Shar of Tshuva, he has a Shar of Kedusha, he has a Shar of Anova also. He has a whole Shar dealing with humility, dealing with the Midah of Anova. And all of it is based and it's interspersed with Mamore Chazal, you know, from Chazal, from Zohar Kodesh, Midrashim, and all over. So we gave some examples, some excerpts of the Reshis Chochma. One aspect that he brings over here, maybe we might have mentioned that, and that is Nishar Anova. He writes concerning the greatness of the Midah of Anova. So he says that a person who wants to have this chus in the depth of Kabbalah, to be able to have the knowledge and to have, as it were, the power of utilizing Shemus HaKadoshim, to be able to utilize, to have knowledge and to be able to actually use Shemus HaKadoshim, to be able to do miraculous things Nisim, there's a prerequisite. It's not enough to study Kabbalah, it's not enough to have knowledge in Kabbalah, but a person has to be refined more than anything else to be an onov, and one therefore one who is not, does not lose oneself and is able to contain his anger. In other words, these are synonymous. A person who is an onov, right, will not allow himself to get angry simply because the fact is, because the fact that he's an onov, and we pointed out, Rashi says in Chumash, what does onov mean? Onov means not just humble, shofo v'savol, and somebody who is tolerant. A person who's tolerant doesn't get angry, certainly not that easily. And therefore, says the Reshis Chochma in the Shar HaNova, it brings down that a person who wants to be Zeiche, that Shemayim will give him the powers, utilizing Shemus HaKadoshim, and to do, be able to do wondrous things, he says, Ein Moshter in Hashem el Olami She'oimed Be'emso Yomo V'enekos. He's already, half of his life is over, and he did not get angry. And he points down that he heard from a chosid, Reb Yankel Ashkenazi, who was a chocham mufla b'chochma. He says, Reb Yankel Ashkenazi was a tremendous chocham, and he wanted to teach some of his chochma. In Kabbalah, he wanted to teach it to someone called Reb Yehuda Chosid. Not to mix Reb Yehuda Chosid, a number of Reb Yehuda Chosids, quite spanning different time periods, and they're not one and the same. Matter of fact, one of the, as they say, the Yehuda Chosid, which one would say is really a euphemism, because he was not a Chosid at all, is one of the followers, as it were, of Shabbosai Tzvi. There was one, and he was called Yehuda Chosid also. And he was just on the opposite side of the coin. He's called Yehuda Chosid. Anyway, but that's known as the notorious Yehuda Chosid. But he's called Yehuda Chosid, not Reb Yehuda Chosid. Call me Yehuda Chosid. He's not a chosid either. Maybe drop the chosid also. But Kapalim, that's the way he's known. Yehuda Chosid. But Rashi Yitzchok was talking about someone he calls of Yehuda Chosid. This of Yehuda Chosid, by the very fact, by he was called Chosid, to mean he was a great man. So he wanted to learn Kabbalah from Yankel Ashkenazi. Yankel Ashkenazi said, before I can teach you Kabbalah, I have to test you to see if you can control your anger. Before I can teach you Kabbalah, I have to test you whether you can control your anger. Rashi Yitzchok brings that. Because they had a Kabbalah, because they had a Masoret tradition, you don't give over the Chokhmah only to someone who has been tested in anger and does not get angry. So Rashi Yitzchok brings down that Rabbi Yehuda Chosid was ready to be tested. So Rabbi Yaakov Ashkenazi tested him, he says, Vav Pa'amim. He tested him 6 times and he passed the test. The 7th time he failed. He got angry. It doesn't say what the episodes were. So he failed. And he did not teach him, did not give him over the Chokhmah. So again, just to indicate that how refined the person has to be in his character and his midas. So this Kabbalah again is also just not some exercise of just some intellectual study, some sort of a study, but really it really is connected, most importantly, with a person's greatness in terms of how he is connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu and how his character is refined. And it's particularly in the area of Kas, as we see here from the Reish Chochmah. He also brings down, the Reish Chochmah brings down, that we find that he says that Shilas were asked, he says, from the Arizal. He points down from, he has the Shar, he says, Ruach HaKodesh. And he brings down that Reb Chaim Vital writes, Ani HaKodesh of Chaim. Reb Chaim Vital was a Talmud of the Arizal, of course, the main primary Talmud. Reb Chaim Vital says, I asked my Rebbe, Al Inyan, he says, Hashimush BeKabbalah Maisis, regarding the ability and the power to be able to use Shemus, right? Be able to use the Shem of the various different unification, different compositions of Hashem's name, and to be able to implement it, to be able to achieve tremendous things. He says, with the Svarim, by the way, the Sifrim and Kabbalim write that this is not something that one should use freely, but rather it has to be very, very measured. And Reb Chaim Vital says, I asked my Rebbe about it, that if it is not really, it's not really something that is praiseworthy. You know, this is not something that somebody really should be involved with. Certainly not on a great scale. So Reb Chaim Vital, I asked my Rebbe, how come Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Kiva, there is a sefer called Pirkei Heicholis. And there it brings down wondrous things that what Rebbe Shmuel and Rebbe Kiva did. And it says there that they were mishtamish a lot, they used Shemus HaKadoshim quite often. So Reb Chaim Vital said, I asked my Rebbe Arizal, how is it that Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Kiva did get involved in using the various Shemus, since it seems that the Sifrei HaMukubalim reject the idea that one should not really be involved in practicing it all that much. And they used it, Rav Shimon Ben Akiva used it, B'Shemus Neuroim. Linyan Zechira, for example, if you want to remember things for a very long time, they would connect it with a certain Shem, and they would never forget it. A lot of things, they utilize the Koyach of the Shem. So he brings down that the Rizal answered me, and he doesn't go into detail. An interesting thing, he says also, he says, Reb Chaim Vital says, that the Reish Chochmah, Reb Yodi Vidas told me, Reb Chaim Vital was a Talmud of Rizal, said that the Reish Chochmah told me, that I also asked my Rebbe, who was his Rebbe, Reb Moshe Cordovero. So he says, interesting, he says, that I, the Reish Chochmah, I asked my Rebbe also, regarding the fact that we find that certain people, great people, were involved utilizing Shemus, and it's something which it seems should not really be done all that much. Rishonim kulam mishtamshim b'shemus, and Reb Moshe Cordovero answered why they did. But it seems that, again, that this is not really the norm. These were the exceptions for whatever reason. But otherwise, again, it is rejected to utilize the shemus of a Kodesh Baruch Hu for these types of things. Do you want to mention one more thing? And that is where the Reish Chochmah brings down in the chelik, which is called Shar HaKedusha. See, Reish Chochmah has one of the shar, one of the gates, it's called Shar HaKedusha. The Reish Chochmah brings over there, there's written a sefer called Maisa Chassidim. There's written a sefer called Maisa Chassidim, Ksav Yad, in a manuscript form. And he says there was a particular chosid that would isolate himself, and he was involved most of the day in meditation. But meditation, you know, connecting his mind to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this would be the way he would really be totally removed from this world. This was a person who was mizbaydeid. He was mizbaydeid. He separated himself from all the inyonim of this world in the way that his mind was always connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very high madrega. Ultimately, this person came back out of the forest, wherever he did this meditation. He came back into the yeshiv. He came back into society. So he comes back into society, and he comes back, and they didn't recognize him, because most of the time we said he was in isolation. So he did not mingle with people. He was a great man. He was a great man, because otherwise he worked on himself, you know, for so long. And being away, removed out of this world, so finally he comes back to society, he was looking for a job. But they didn't really recognize his Maila, they did not recognize his Madrega, but his Chochma says. So they made him a Shamus in the Shul. Great man, he was a great tzaddik, but nobody knew. So what did they do? They gave him a job. They made him a Shamus in the Shul. Part of the job of a Shamus is, you know, so by the Yomud, so they put oil, right? To light the candles, not just by the Yomud. Those days didn't have electricity either. So part of the job of the Shamus is to see that there's enough fuel, right, to be able to light the candles. So the Shul should be well lit. So being that his mind was always occupied, you know, he was Dovuk in Hashem Yisbarach, and his mind did not pay attention to his world, so when he poured the oil into the lamps, he always missed it. It went on the floor. So somehow they realized that he wasn't even cut out to do the job either. They saw that. But the Chacham, the rabbi of the Kehillah, he recognized this was a great man. That the reason that he's missing, it's not because he doesn't have the skill to do the job. Physically he has the skill. His mind is not there. His mind, if it'd be in the wrong place, it might be good. His mind is way high up, in the higher ups. The Chacham understood, and he made a declaration. Listen to this. He gets up at the bima and says, this Shamus is going to become the Chacham in my place. I resign. I'm not in his Madrega. That's another aspect of great Anivus, by the way, that a rabbi would step down because of the fact is that he recognized that the godless of this Shamus, he said, this is not Stam Shamus. The Shamus is a great man, and the Shamus, he says, V'oma HaShamus Hazeh Royu Shiyo Chochom B'mkoymi V'ani HaShamus Shtachtov. And that's what the Potik says. Ba'ahavoso, tish getomit. It's possible that a person has so much love to the Torah and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tish getomit, that sort of like, he's like out of his mind. He becomes so out of everything that he becomes totally addicted to Kedusha and to Ruchnias, that when it comes to other inyonim of Olam Hazeh, he's totally out of it. And in fact, this was this particular person that ended up to be a Shamus in the Shul, but at the end he became the Chacham of the Shul. That's what Reish Chochma brings in the Sefer Shara Kedusha, which is very interesting. Just by the way, we probably cannot even appreciate what that means. We see that the reason that he was not able to pour the oil into the lamps, because his mind was so connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu, that he just wasn't paying attention. He was in a different world. So that is really, that episode is something, without mentioning that episode, not even aware, Rabbi Yitzchak Baditchev in the Sefer Kedushas Levi has the following interpretation, which many ask. It says when Aharon HaKohen was given the mitzvah of lighting the menorah, right, in Pais Baal Oischa, it says, Vayas Kein Aharon. The Aharon went ahead and he fulfilled, right, the mitzvah, right? Helo Neriseo, that he lit the menorah, Kashet Siv Hashem as Moshe, as Hashem commanded. And Rashi says, Vayas Kein Aharon, the Torah is telling us, Lahagid Shvoche Shel Aharon, the Torah is telling us the praise of Aharon Shloshina, that he did not, right, that he did not change, that he did not depart from anything that Hashem told, that he fulfilled the words of Hashem. And all the Farshim say, is that a big deal, Aharon HaKohen? Why would you think Aharon HaKohen? Anybody, Aharon HaKohen? Is that ishvach for? Is that a praise for Aharon HaKohen? Hashem told him to do this mitzvah. Why would I think that he would be mishane? Why would I think he would change anything? And there's many different perushim and mafarshim. And to Kedushas Levi says, and we'll understand it with his meisim. Anybody who's aware a little bit, to Kedushas Levi, that there's different tzaddikim, different drachim avodas Hashem. Now some people stand Dam Shemoneh Esrei very calmly. Their eyes are closed. There's hardly any movement. And yet they are davening with tremendous kavanah. It is said if you read about Rabbi Chonon Wasserman, his davening. Great Ol Chonon, there hardly any movement. He has two hands together, you know, under his heart, and we stand there, wouldn't budge, wouldn't move, no moving. And then there were tzaddikim, certainly in the Hasidic world, it was like Kol Atzmoisei Termano. You see all the Ramachivom, all their limbs would be shuckling and moving. Matter of fact, the Gemara says Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva davened with such excitement, that when he stood Shemoneh Esrei in one corner, by the time he finished, he ended up in a different corner, not even being aware. You know, that was the excitement. That was the bread of Rabbi Kiva. When he damed Shemoneh Esrei, he was told he was out of this world. This was the type of avodah k'dushas Levi, you can imagine, was with tremendous excitement, with tremendous bren, appreciating the opportunity, being in a different world, serving Hashem. K'dushas Levi said, I can't understand, Ahan HaKoyin. He says, had to be 10 times as great as we. 15, 20, 25 times, multiplied by any number you want. Ahan HaKoyin was so dovek Kodesh Baruch Hu. How could he pay attention to pour the oil into the menorah? How was he able to light it? Even the Shabbos couldn't do it. The gravels of Ahan was, he was up in Shemaim and down in the world, this world as well. Shleishina. Now we understand that's the Chiddush. Because Kushis Levi, from his vantage point, understood that to be such a Dovik Bashem, that you're physically not able, really, you're trembling. You take the bottle of oil, I'm now going to do a mitzvah to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So you become so in awe, right? And the reverence that a person has. And he's standing there in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu with such amazement that when he's holding the bottle, he can't pour oil, push it because the year, the tremendous year that he has. That was really the Hagosha. Kodesh Baruch Hu always had that. So imagine, how could a Ahan HaKoyin even do that? But that's the greatness of a Ahan HaKoyin. In spite of being a Dovek Bashem to the highest level, but he also was able to control his physical actions and to be able to do the mitzvah properly. It didn't hamper, didn't stand in his way. The Shamas had the problem, as we saw, but the Chacham was a Megvam. At the end of the day, the Rishis Chochma brings that the Chacham steps down and makes the Shamas to be the Rav of the Kila. It's an amazing thing. This is the Rishis Chochma brings down the Shara Kedusha. So let's take a look, Rabbi Sa, here in the Orchis Sadikim. We are here in the Orchis Sadikim, it's on Daf Chov Dalet, in the regular editions that we are using. We'll see sort of like in the middle of the Omud, Huanova Nikeres Be'odom B'shishu Dvorim. Okay. The Orchis Sadikim tells us that what are the signs to recognize that a person is a humble person? In which aspects of a person's life to recognize? So he says the signs of an onov, of a true onov, he says, can be recognized in six ways, six different areas, right? Anova becomes expressed. A person's behavior becomes expressed. He says, first of all, harishon. The first of the six is to recognize whether a person's an onov or not. Bechayze kasa shalodom, the intensity of man's anger. And that's actually, you know, as we spoke about a moment from the Rishis Chochma. Right? He talks about the humility is connected with the person being able to control his kas. That's the sign of being an onov. And here the Orchis Sadikim says the same thing. Of course, Orchis Sadikim was earlier than the Rishis Chochma, before the Arizal, we pointed out. Orchis Sadikim, he said, about 7 centuries ago. So Arishin, he says, the kasa shalodom. The first way of recognizing whether a person is humble or not is to see the intensity of a person's anger. And he gives an example. The example of that would be, imagine that someone shamed him very much, either b'dvarim or b'maiseh. Somebody embarrassed him either with words or with deed. And the victim has the ability to take revenge. He has the ability. And yet, he does not utilize that ability. And yet, the victim is able to control himself and to forgive ba'avur ha'boyer baruch hu only because this is what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. In other words, he has the ability to take revenge, he has the ability to get back and to lash out at the person who embarrassed him. But he's able to control himself. Why is he controlling himself? Because this is for the covet of Hashem, this is what Hashem really wants me to do. Zeh simen anova. That is a sign of anova. A person can control his anger. He puts on the side, he says, the Orchis Sadikim, but I want you to know, even though I'm telling you, that a person should be ready to forgive. You know what they say is, the sign of a great man is, he gives and he's able to forgive also. Two kinds of giving. There's giving and forgiving. Here he's talking about forgiving, to be a forgiving person. That is the sign, that's the simen of anova. That's the sign of anonov. But sometimes he says, as a matter of fact, it is also to forgive. When is that? Sometimes it is even also to forgive. Kegoim Talmud Chochom Shibizohu Barabim. If a Talmud Chochom was embarrassed, Barabim, publicly, until someone comes over, in other words, the person who embarrassed him asks Mechila, so then the Talmud Chochom will be Meichel him. But otherwise, if it's a Talmud Chochom Shibizohu Barabim, this is the Kovod HaTorah. Kavod HaTorah has to be protected, and if someone's mavaz the Talmud Chochem Barabim, then it's also for the Talmud Chochem. Okay, I don't mind that to be Moichel, because it's not him we're talking about. There's a bigger picture. If he's a Talmud Chochem, then he represents Torah. If he represents Torah, Torah cannot, should never be shamed. Torah should never be
abused. And if someone goes ahead and is mavaza talmud chacham, embarrassing a talmud chacham, it's not the person that you're mavaza, but that you're embarrassing. You're embarrassing the Torah that this person possesses. And therefore, talmud chacham should be zol barabin. Therefore, he says, should not be meichel, unless the person really is interested in mechila. Okay, so the first sign of anova, he points out, of the six, is to see how a person is able to control his anger. If you're able to control your anger, that is one area, right, which is indicative, which indicates that, in fact, that you possess the mid of anova. That's one sign. Hasheni, the second area, he says, where anova comes into play, humility. Kishayovai hefsid godl. Imagine if a person suffers great loss. Or let's say chaz v'sholem to both. Great losses of chaz v'sholem, a person loses, right? People that are close to him, dear to him, passed away. But instead of raising his voice in complaints to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, umatzdik din ha'boire baruch hu olov, he vindicates Hashem's justice. He vindicates Hashem's justice. Now he vindicates umekabel be'ahava. And he accepts Hashem's decree lovingly. It's a madrega. Matter of fact, at every levaya, a person loses someone, you realize, you say tzodek adin. But that's all tefillah. That is being said at the levaya, said at the Beis HaChaim, that's what it said. Hatzur tomim poloi, tzadiku, einovel, whatever Hashem does is right, we don't understand everything. It may be very painful, but at the same time, we acknowledge and we say tzodek adin. We say Hashem is right. Whatever he does is just. Interesting observation of the Yochas Tzadikim, to be Madrik Zadin, to accept Hashem's judgment is also a sign of Anova. It's a sign of Anova, he says. Kama Shalem, as we find, it says, Vayidoy Maharin. Aharon was silent when he lost two of his sons. And by the way, interesting thing, the words Vayidoy Maharin, in the Gedolim Mefarshim, going back to the time of the Rishonim, they're two different, Menakotza Lakotza, two different Perushim. The way that Rashi learns, Ramban learns, Rabbeinu Bechaya, the way we just said, Vayidoy Maharin. Vayidoy means Aharon was silent. That is, he did not complain. He accepted it. The Targum Unkel, if you look at the Targum, time goes a step further. Not just he didn't complain. Vishibach Aharon. Aharon, in fact, he praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Madrega further. And a matter of fact, what does the Yidu again? No one should ever have to undergo this, endure this, but a Levaya, he makes a Brocha, Dynamis. What's in essence? What's the bracha of dynamis? You're praising Hashem. You are the true judge. That's the person says, Baruchat Hashem. Baruch. You're saying Baruch. No, you're praising Hashem. Hashem, whatever you do, Hashem, I trust this is for the better. And whatever you do, you're the true judge. So that's the idea. Vishibachar. So Vayidah Maharan means, and a matter of fact, that's what it seems that the Yochas Tzadikim, that he takes on Vayidah Maharan, is not just he's quiet, but he says Makabo Be'ahavo. It seems to say that the idea is that really accepts it, really Be'ahavo, even he praises Hashem. But in any case, a person accepting Hashem's judgment, that's a strong sign of another. Because here's the situation. A person who is not a nonos would say to himself, another person who thinks that he possesses, right, he possesses a certain degree of greatness, he says to himself, why does this happen to me? I don't deserve it. The onov, who is humble, maybe I do deserve it. Maybe I do deserve it. Okay, I'm an onov. Why do I think that I'm so great, that I'm beyond reproach? So that's a simon of anova. Because a person who thinks that he's a bar mila, that he has a lot of milas to himself, then he thinks he doesn't deserve it. I'm a bar mila. Why are these stories happening to me? Why are all these calamities happening to me? Why these things? All these tragedies? But if a person does not feel that he did, right? He doesn't say, I don't deserve it. Maybe I do. I mean, if Hashem does. The idea is a simon of anova. He doesn't think he's above it, and therefore it should not at all be coming to him. So he's madzik zadin. So that's also a sign of anova. He said, Ashlishi. The third. It's a very interesting thing here. It comes up the third. The third sign of anova. And he says as follows. In Yishmael, let's say a person hears Sho'oila Mishapchim Oisoi. A person hears that the world or people, the public, are praising him Al Chachmosoi for his wisdom, Val Masav Atoivim, and for his good deeds. The Onov really does not rejoice, not very sad about it, but he says, Lo Yismach Blibe Alzeh. He does not rejoice. Notice what the attitude should be. The attitude should be as follows. But the way he should reflect, when he hears that a lot of people are praising him, he says to himself, they're praising me, but they don't understand that if in fact I have so much chokhmah, that's all the more the machayiv I ought to be doing more. I ought to be serving Hashem on a higher level. In other words, the more wherewithal that I have, right, means that my inventory towards Hashem, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not up to par. When a person hears that he's doing all that much, he should really reflect and say that Masav Atovim Hemuyotim, that my Maisim are all insignificant relative to what I ought to do. Mashu Chayiv Lasos. As the Moshe Sternberg brings in a Sefer, Tam Vidas, in Pajah Voschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu says when he pleads to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want to go into Eretz Yisrael, Voschanan al Hashem, he pleads. And Moshe Rabbeinu starts to say, "After Hachiloisob," and he goes through the history of Hashem. You began to show me your greatness and all of the nisim and so on and so forth. But he used the lashon "After Hachiloisob," and the point is, some mafreshim said that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that of all the greatness, it's not my time to die yet. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest person of Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu says, as far as I'm concerned, I'm just beginning. Ata hachiloisol haris esavdecho. You have just begun to show me your greatness. And if you've just begun, there's so much more left for me to do. There's so much reason for me to be here on earth. That is the attitude. Here we have a Moshe Rabbeinu, who achieved more than anybody else. Right? He was the greatest Navi of all time. And Moshe Rabbeinu, reflecting on himself, says, in the eyes of the world, I did a lot. But relatively, looking my madrege towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu, compared to what I should be doing, I should have accomplished, Moshe Rabbeinu is the Yono. He says, I've just begun. I've just started. And that's what the Orech HaTzaddikim is saying. When a person hears it being praised of all his chokhmah and all of his good deeds, he says, I've just begun, barely scratched the surface. Did I really do all that much? Did I really do all that much? Compared relative to what I should be doing and I ought to do, I've not done all that much. That should be the attitude of a person. Matter of fact, also about Avraham Avinu, who is a greater machnis oirach than Avraham Avinu? The greatest person when it comes to achnosas sorchim, right? Bringing people into his house, the most hospitable person, Avraham Avinu. He stands out as the symbol of achnosas sorchim, being the hospitable person. And the Pesuk says that he sat, it was a hot day, where Yoshev Pesach Oil, he was sitting outside by the door of the tent. Sitting by the door of the tent. And the Neumel HaMelech, Rebbe HaMelech says, this is symbolic of the greatness of Avraham Avinu. He did so much, and in his mind, he's just sitting by the Pesach. He didn't even enter yet. I've just begun to achieve. He's sitting at the opening. I didn't even enter yet. He's with Yoshev Pesach oil. He says, "Zeh Shaul Hashem Tzadikim Yavoi Yavoi." You know, this is the Shaul Hashem. This is the gate. Tzadikim, in their mind, is they're just trying to enter the gate. Zeh Shaul. They've done so much, yet in their mind, the way they look at themselves compared to what there is all that much left to do yet, it's like they're just entering the gate. They just want to enter through the gate. Zashal Hashem. Not thinking already achieved. I'm already an accomplished person. That's the attitude of the tzaddikim. So he goes on to say further. The true Onoth says to himself, when he hears all the praise, he's being prayed for all the good that he did. He says, all I've done, he says, is only like a drop in the large ocean compared to what I should have been doing. The Koshgen is certainly, he says, im yom rol of masim toivim shlo yoso. Now sometimes people mistakenly attribute to a person things that he didn't even do. People attribute to him a lot of good deeds that he didn't even do. So they're praising him now with things that are not even true. In the beginning he's speaking about when you're being praised with things that you talk you did do. You did do it. Still it shouldn't go to your head. And certainly shouldn't go to your head when you hear people praising you with things they're attributing to you, things that you're not even done. But rather, when you hear that people are praising you, when you hear that people are praising you with things that you have not even done, you should be distressed. That you become acclaimed. You become acclaimed on something that you don't even have. You're falsely being praised. And what happens the other way? Instead of people praising you, let's say people are relating Maisim Royim, bad deeds. They're attributing bad deeds to you. They say you did such and such, negative things. Now, he's going to discuss both sides. Are they true or are they not true? What should your reaction be? People are saying that you did bad things. If it's true, he'll talk about it. And if it's not true, how should you react? He says as follows. If somebody spoke against you, Maisim Royim, bad deeds. They're saying that you did things that are bad. Imam Sadover, if it is true. So first of all, don't try to twist the truth and to exonerate yourself. Because it's true. You did the bad thing. Yehuda admitted it. You step up to the plate. You take responsibility. What did Yehuda say? Sodko mimani. Yehuda said, Sodko, she's right. Mimani, it's for me. She's from with child for me. Yehuda was Moedalemis. Took a lot of courage. To tremendous, right? Tremendous power. To subdue himself. And able to bend. Yehuda took responsibility. So therefore he says, if it's true what's being said, do not attempt to contradict because it's true. As a matter, he says, not only that, because it's true, so I can contradict it, it's true. But maybe I should hate the person. So he says, don't hate him, because he's only a shlich of Hashem, because the fact that this becomes a revealed, some of the things, a person, because Hashem wants you to do tshuva, you're doing all these bad things, so what's going to bring you to tshuva? You just continue. So Hashem had to do something to cause you a little bit of embarrassment by having someone reveal some of the bad things that you have done to bring you to tshuva. So he says, so don't even hate the person who is revealing the truth, because it's true what you're doing. But humble yourself to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ashigilo ma'at meharbe. Kodesh Baruch Hu revealed a little bit. Le'yasroi. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you to be afflicted for now. Le'chichoi. To be rebuked. Kodesh Yoshevelo. So this was sent from the Shemayim. This is an alarm signal. This is a message. Wake up already. Stand the tshuva. Stop doing those ma'asim roim. Now this is again, if what is being said about you in fact is true. Mm-hmm. Now what happens if it's not true? He says as follows. Now this takes a big madrega, what he's saying. This is not the average person able to do this. Vimashi Sipra Olavu Sheker. He says, now if what the person is saying, he says, is false, Al Yachlim Amasapir Vlayichas Olav. He says, don't shame the person who is saying it, and don't get angry at him, as we'll soon see, because you tend to gain. If somebody is speaking falsehood about you, you're going to see how you're going to profit from it. Suffering that embarrassment is going to bring you, suffering that embarrassment, which was false, is going to bring you great reward, as going to point out soon. By the way, there's a sefer called Ali Oirach, on the Oirach of Tzadikim, it says, when he's saying don't shame him, does not mean that you're not allowed. You're not allowed to deny it, because if it's not true, you are allowed to say it's not true. But all he's saying is, don't fight with the person in the sense of going after him in terms of shaming him or getting angry at him. But you should not only you're allowed to, you are allowed to set the record straight and say it's not true what is being said. The Orach HaTzadikim is not telling you that you're not allowed to be machish. In the first case, if it's true, then he said al yakfish. He said al shtad lahakfish. Don't attempt to contradict. Here he's not saying that don't be machish. He's saying al yachlim hamasapet. Don't shame him. That's what he's saying, and don't get angry at him, because. It already happened that one of the great chachomim, bad things were said about him. And when this pious person, when he found out about it, that someone is saying these bad things about him, you know what the chosid did? The chosid was the victim. The chosid heard that so-and-so was saying bad things about him. He said, he sent him a gift. He sent him a present. The chosid of Lo, he said to him, Ata shalachtoli doiren mischuyoscho. He says, the reason I'm sending you a gift, because you have sent me a gift of giving me your mitzvahs. The Orach HaTzadikim follows in the path of the Orach HaTzadikim. If someone speaks Loshon Hara against you, then you get a chelik of his mitzvahs. A chelik of that person's mitzvahs is taken away. And the other way also. And some of your averus go to him. So who ends up having the better part of the deal? So the chosid, who was the victim of someone speaking bad about him, said, I'm sending you back a gift. You gave me a gift. You gave me so many of your mitzvahs. He said, now I'm sending you a gift also, matonim. So he says to him, Ato shalachtoli doyen mizchuyoisecho. You, by speaking badly about me, what happened is, as a cause, right, as a cause of that, you sent me a gift of your schusim. As he's going to explain, V'ani gemalti lecho b'doyen ze shishalachto. And therefore I reciprocated by sending you my matonim. And he goes on to explain. K'liyoy ma'adin, look at what's going to happen. You come up to Shemayim, right, you can be in front of a heavenly court, and you can open up the file. You're going to find things in your file that you say, I never did this. On both accounts. You'll find in the file mitzvahs that you said to yourself, I never did these mitzvahs. You also find in the file sometimes averus. I never did these averus. But you're going to find out why you have these extra mitzvahs, and you're going to find out why you have these extra averus, as he points out.
When it comes to the Yom Adin, Marim, Mitzvah, Islahar, Ben Yodom, Shoy, also Oysa, Mitzvahs.
People are going to be shown mitzvahs, they're going to get credit for mitzvahs that they never did those mitzvahs. The Yomru. So they're going to respond. The people are going to say, hey, must be a mistake. See, these mitzvahs are not mine. Haloi lo yasinu zeh. We never did those mitzvahs. So what's Shemayim going to answer? V'yeshivu lohem. And the answer will be Min HaShemayim. Oyslam shisipru aleichem ra. Those people that spoke badly against you, they did those mitzvahs. And because they spoke badly against you, you have a chelik in some of those mitzvahs. When I'm saying some of those mitzvahs, because you only take away a shear of mitzvahs according to how much the victim was affected. In other words, when you speak badly about people, yeah, it depends, by the way, how much bad, how much was the victim affected by the bad. So according to the shear, according to the damage, so to speak, right, that the victim suffers, so he cashes in the mitzvahs of the one who's doing the damage. So he points out, so he said to the person, you know why you have these mitzvahs? Because so-and-so spoke all these negative things about you. So memela, they did those mitzvahs. Menoitra noitra mehem, so the mitzvahs are taken away from those people and they're given to you. And also v'chen l'rishoyim. The same thing when it comes to Rishoyim. Rishoyim, they're going to see in their file, they're going to see so many averus. They did a lot of averus, but they can see averus that they never performed. So the Rishoyim are going to be shown averus loyos that they didn't do. So the Rishoyim are going to say, it's not fair. Why are we being shown, attributed averus that we never did? Haloi lo yasinu, we never did these averus. Yeshiva lohem. Shemayim will answer to these Rishoyim. These are the averus of the people, of the victims that you spoke. In other words, so you spoke against them badly, so the averus of those victims are being given to you, and your mitzvahs are given to them. He swishes. So he says, these averus that you now have are the averus that were done by the people that you spoke against them. So those victims' averus were taken away. That's the kavana. That is what the pasuk means. Over the melech says in Tehillim, Ayin Tes. The hoshev lishcheinenu. Over the melech is talking about the neighbors, the enemies. He refers to them as neighbors, the enemies who are always next to me. The hoshev lishcheinenu. Over the melech says, pay means in punishment. The hoshev, you should return, you should repay lishcheinenu to our neighbors. Shivasayim sevenfold. Pay them back sevenfold, el chekom, into their bosom, means into their possession. Cheposom asher chefuch Hashem. Their insults which they have insulted, that they who did all of these insults to Kadosh Baruch Hu, pay them back sevenfold. Sevenfold means, because all of the things that they have said, as he points out, ki kol ha-mecharev ha-tzadik, because if you embarrass an insulted tzadik, it's like embarrassing Hashem. So Kadosh Baruch Hu takes it personally. A person especially embarrasses the tzaddik, it's like you actually embarrassed Hashem. Ki kol ha-mecharev ha-tzaddik, ki lo-mecharev Hashem baruch hu, says Yochai Tzaddikim. And he goes on to say, ki oyvei Yisrael, because the enemies of the Jewish people are the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those who hate the Jewish people, in effect, they hate Hashem. These are, Hashem says, the enemy of them are my enemy. Enemy, oyvei Yisrael, and nekroim oyvei Hashem, bekamim mekroimus. We find that in quite a number of places. For example, the Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun Zayin tells us regarding Unkelus Ager. Unkelus became a ger, and through the medium of using, you know, certain powers, you know, supernatural powers, what it is, he brought up from the other world, he brought up certain Poshi soil. He brought up from the other world certain leaders, right, of the various movements that were idol worshippers, and they already have passed on to the next world, and to see what's happening in the other world. So the Gemara says in Gittin that Unkelus, when he brought up these people from the other world, and he had a conversation with them, and he asked them, he said, one pshat is Poshi soil, that means it's referring to Yeshu. It's going to Yoshke. Is that's one of the perishim, and it was because of the censor, it was not written, it was written on Poshi Yisrael, Stam. Those are Poshi Yisrael. But some said in fact it was him. In any case, so he was conversing with this neshama from the other world, and he asked, Man Choshi Bahayalman, now that you're in the upper world, who is really Choshi? Who is really Choshi? Who does the Kosh Baruch Hu? So he said, Yisrael, you see the truth now. The truth are the Jewish people, they are choshev. And the uncle was asked, Mahu lad buke bihu? He said, what about becoming part of the Jewish people? He says, one thing I can tell you. Toivosam daroish. No matter whether you become Jewish or you remain a Gentile, make sure you do only toivis for the Jewish people. Ra'osam al tidroish. But never, never do things, seek out things bad for them. Because, whoever touches them, because Baruch Hu says as if you touched, he says, the pupil of my eye. Because Baruch Hu views the Jewish people as a pupil. The pupil of an eye is very sensitive and very overly protective. Because Baruch Hu in a certain sense is overly protective of the Jewish people. That's really what the Ochel Tzaddikim is saying. Those are enemies of the Jewish people, are enemies of Hashem. Because Hashem, Klal Yisrael, and Kodesh Baruch Hu are like one. And it was for this that the Torah warns us to be careful how we use our mouths. Make sure not to embarrass people, certainly not Tzaddikim. Remember what the Kodesh Baruch Hu did to Miriam for speaking against Moshe. What happened? She was struck and she was afflicted with tzaras, with leprosy. Just have to mention to you what the Rambam says. It says, Zohar, remember us also Hashem Lekecho by Miriam, Baderech. So the Rambam says, actually, in Hilchas Tumas Saras, remember, now I want you to make a Kal V'Chomer for Miriam. Look, the Oynish, and by the way, the Chofetz Chaim Shmiris Aloshim, we just had a few days ago, also brings down this posik, and makes the same observation. Look what happened to Miriam. Miriam was a Nevi'ah, she was not a simple person, right? Miriam was a Nevi'ah, so she was a prophetess. And she spoke against a brother that she was the older brother. She was the older sister, so she was older. Not only that, she was older than Moshe, so she was the older one. She speaks again, Moshe was younger, she's the older. And she actually sacrificed her life, right? She raised him, and she sacrificed her life in order to save Moshe, right, when he was floating on the basket in the water. In addition to that, not only the fact that she was the older sister, not only the fact that we see how much kovet she had from, I mean, what she did for Moshe. She raised Moshe Rabbeinu. She raised Moshe Rabbeinu and she saved his life. Not only that, the truth is she didn't really speak real Lashon Hara. You know what the whole Lashon Hara was? That she equated Moshe that he's no greater than other Nevi'im. Just like other Nevi'im stay married, why did you separate yourself from your wife? Now Moshe Rabbeinu was on a higher level. So when she said, Moshe, don't be different than the other Nevi'im. So all she did was reduced him. What do you mean reduced him? That you're like another Novi. That's the big Lashon Hara. Moshe was really, in fact, he was greater than the Nevi'im. So she, right, in her, what she said, she reduced him, that is, she equated him with other Nevi'im. That's the extent of Lashon Hara. And in addition to that, so it wasn't such a great Lashon Hara. And Moshe Rabbeinu was makbir either. Moshe Rabbeinu Bachal, he was oblivious to that. He didn't care when an odd took the Torah right away, right after that. That's where the Torah says, Moshe on the Miyoid. As far as Moshe is concerned, nothing. He didn't even mind. So Moshe didn't mind. She didn't really speak no great Lashon Hara. She was the older one. She always sacrificed her life for Moshe. You can be sure she didn't really mean that. And look at the great Einish that happens, says the Rambam to Miriam. So now imagine anybody else who speaks Lashon Hara doesn't have all these milas behind him. How much more that the Einish would be? How much more the punish would be? So that's what we see from Miriam. Remember what happened to Miriam. And now look at your situation. You're so far away from Miriam. Compare Miriam's Lashon Hara to your Lashon Hara, and you'll see, and the Einish, what Miriam received, that will tell us, of course, how serious it is. Therefore, in any case, talking about again that a person should be an onot, we conclude here the next 3-4 lines. Misha soil bizyoinoi vishoisek, a person who bears his shame in silence, but then nikashu onot. That is a sign that he's an onot. The chemosino behilul anosi. We found this ending by Hillel. He was an osi, he was a prince. Be'echot shibizo, we find that someone actually shamed him. Sha'omaloi, a person was so upset at Hillel that the person said to Hillel, our yirbu kemoyscha b'yisroel. The Kalso should have, no, it's enough to have one of you. We don't need more of you. Our yirbu kemoyscha b'yisroel. The way Hikpid, he was not upset. Gemara Shabbos. And the Yesh B'medrash, as a matter of fact, there's a medrash that says that Ein Onov, the truth is the highest level, the highest sign of an Onov, one is really only an Onov if you reach the Madrega, Hashemeya Cherposoi Vein Ameshir. If you reach the Madrega, you're able to hear your shame, and you do not reply. Bechsiv, Vatadaber Moshe Vaharim B'Moshe. Miriam and Ahai spoke against Moshe, and what was Moshe's reaction? Uchsiv, Rish Moshe Onov Miyoid. So we see, where does the Torah use the Lashon Onov? The Torah used the Lashon Onov in what area, what context? not replying. So the Medrash says that seems, that's according to the Medrash, that's really the highest level of anono. That's really, now you can have all other simonim, but if you don't have this one, if you don't reach the madrega shemeach or poso evena meshiv, you can't, right, refrain from replying, then you have not yet reached truly the madrega of anova. And those people are really true anovim, people are truly humble. On them the pasuk says in Shoftim, "Voyhavov, those who love Hashem, kitzeis Hashemesh b'gvurosoi, they will be rewarded as being so powerful like the rising sun." Kitzeis Hashemesh b'gvurosoi. In other words, with the Orchid Sadikim here is relating this pasuk, and that's the Gemara Shabbos Daf Peches, that a person who shemeach posoi vein ameshiv, a person who is able to hear his embarrassment and does not reply, the reward is that he will be like the sun. He will be as powerful like the sun when the sun is rising. That's what the Gemara says. Now, how does this connect? How does hearing one's shame and not answering, what has it got to do with the sun, with the rising sun, with glory and with power? What does one got to do with the other? What's the connection? So if you open up Ein Yankov and look in the Rif, the parish of the Rif in the Yankov, he points like this. Do you remember when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the sun and the moon? There were two large luminaries, and the Yireach, the moon, spoke up. You can't have two kings. What do you mean two? We're both equal? What the Yireach tried to insinuate is, I should be king and the Shemesh should be smaller. What did Kadosh Baruch Hu do? Just the opposite. In other words, the Shemesh was quiet. The Shemesh did not speak up. When the Yireach opened its mouth and the Yireach said, we can't have two equal kings. In other words, what the Yireach was saying is, only one king, meaning I should be the king, and the Shemesh should be smaller. The Shemesh did not say a word. What was the end of the day? The Shemesh, by not replying, turns out that the Shemesh became the all-powerful. The Yireach became smaller. Someone who's a Shemeach or Posoi, Veina Meshiv, is like the sun. Just because the sun did not reply when the Yireach tried to weaken the power of the sun, when the Yireach tried to become greater than the sun, and the sun was able to restrain, and the reward was the Shemesh came out b'gvurosoi. Shemesh came out with its power. So too will be the reward of any person who follows the same midah, Shemeach posoi ben emeshiv. Kitzeis Hashemesh b'gvurosoi. The reward is like the sun. The sun remained up all the way on top, and that will be the reward for a person who is Shemeach posoi, can listen to his shame and does not reply. Anyway, this is the ultimate level of being an honor. Let's take Rabbi Yisrael Deshit, and you'll see something interesting here. We have here from Rav Shach, the first item, is from a sefer called Teiros Cheshashue, a grandson of Rav Shach, Rav Osher Bergman, put together a lot of the various different Torah, a lot of shmuz, and a lot of interesting episodes from his grandfather, from Rav Shach. So in Parshas Kisese, you know, the Torah talks about when a woman, right, taking up the honor for her husband was involved, someone was attacking her husband, and of course she wants to save him, so what she does is, what the woman does is, in order to save her husband, she goes over to the perpetrator and she grabs him in the private area. So it caused tremendous embarrassment to the person. The Pasuk says the Loshen, the literal translation is, the palm, katsois es kapo, that the palm should be removed, cut off. So Chazal say, we don't cut off any, maybe Arabs do that, we don't do that. But it means is that there has to pay for the embarrassment. You have to pay, boishes, you have to pay boishes. This is where the Gemara Bava Kama Perek HaChoyvel teaches us, this is the source, that if you embarrass someone, that you have to pay boishes. And boishes has to be evaluated, because not all boishes, not all embarrassment the same. Because the Gemara says, it's a different level of boishes if you embarrass a chosh of a person. Right? Whether you have embarrassed a common person, a lowly person. Also, who does the embarrassing? Right? Is it an important person that embarrasses somebody else? Or is it a very simpleton that embarrasses somebody else? So there's all different things that have to be evaluated. Who are the one, the doer, and also who the victim was, to see the relationship between the two. So this is up to a bezin to evaluate it. So we go from here. Mikan lomdu chachom beperek hachoyvel. The Chazal, the Gemara learns out in Perek HaChoyv Musa B'Vekame, Chiyuv D'mei Boishes L'mi Shebiyash Odom Yisrael. There's a Chiyuv to pay for the embarrassment, right? You have to compensate a person. If you shamed him publicly we're talking about, there's a Chiyuv you have to pay the Boishes. The course of Arches Tzadikim, he also quotes Arches Tzadikim, but we're learning Shara Nova. He's quoting the Arches Tzadikim in the Shara HaBoishes. There's a Shara HaBoishes, interesting. Arches Tzadikim says as follows, Sarach Lizor Moed, a person be very careful. Make sure that you do whatever you do, that no person in the world, right, should have to suffer embarrassment. You have to be very careful what you do. Gam b'divrei Torah, by the way, even in divrei Torah, even when you're learning Torah, make sure that your divrei Torah doesn't embarrass someone. How could your divrei Torah embarrass someone? He says, "Im yisro v'yitenem chaveru." Listen to what Arches Tzadikim says. Let's say you're discussing a portion of Torah, and you hear that you're right, and you hear that your friend is making a mistake. Right? It happens all the time. You have shakla v'tari, you have give and take in learning, and hear that your friend is making a mistake. V'shoma shechaver eto, v'yoyim aloi, don't use the words to'isa, you're making a mistake. Interesting. Oy eincha mevin, or you don't understand, shlo yizbayish, you shouldn't be embarrassed. Achiyasa atzim akilu lohevin shetoim. But in other words, what he says is, make it in a way, right, that is if you are able to somehow fit in the true pshat in a way that the person should recognize the truth without having to go outright, this is the way that you have to do it. In other words, you have to be very tactful to try, right, to say what's right and to do what's right, but in a way that it should not be at the cost or the embarrassment of a person. And he goes on to bring a very interesting episode from Rav Shach regarding this situation. He says, bring down Sokhba Bisomer, he says, Garbu Shlita. He says, he by the name of Bisomer. He says, Moran Zatzal. He says, Rav Shach Sipir. Rav Shach related, At Kama Hifli Moran Hagoyim Rav Chaim Oizer Zatzal. Rav Shach pointed out, to the great extent, to an astonishing way, Rav Chaim Oizer was so extra, extra careful, the great Rav Chaim Oizer of Vilna, Shemein Odom L'Chaveroi, how careful he was in the covet of Odom L'Chaveroi, between one and the other. But Kamoho Yenishmar, and to the great extent that Rav Chaim Oizer would be careful, Shloi Ligroim Boishes Kol Shurul Zolosoi, not to cause even a drop of shame to someone else. By the way, I want to tell you, Rav Chaim Oizer, not everybody knows that, was the brother-in-law of Rav Chonah Wasserman, because they were both son-in-laws of Rav Meir Atlas. He was an Odom Godel. His name was Rav Meir Atlas, and Rav Chonah and Rav Chaim Oizer married two sisters. So they were both really brothers-in-law, Rav Chonah Wasserman and Rav Chaim Oizer. Two great people. So, Tzirusoi, he says, Sipre Moron, he said, when I was young, Rav Shach said, when I was young, and he's going back to, way back in Europe still, before Eretz Yisrael, when Rav Shach was young, he says, Nechnasti pam lemoyne shor b'chaim oizer zatzal. I once went into the house of Rav Chaim Oizer. V'kshesi b'fon of Kushe, and I asked the kashe from Rav Chaim Oizer, Rav Shach says this, I asked Rav Shach Akashi in the sugya, the Gemara of Masiya, Shoimer Shemos al Shoimer. There's a whole sugya. If somebody gives you something for safekeeping, you're a Shoimer. A Shoimer, right, is Chai Bachrayis. But it depends if he gets paid. If he doesn't get paid, there's different levels of responsibility. If you're a Shoimer, you have a chiv of responsibility. What happens if a Shoimer gives it over to a second Shoimer? But I entrusted you. I entrusted you to be a Shoimer. You realize you have to leave. So what are you doing? So you give the object, you give it over to a second Shoimer. And there's a big machloikis in the Gemara there. What is the responsibility? Is that okay? If you entrust me, and I trust somebody else, can I give it over without asking you, without rishus, can I give it over to the second Shoimer? So the whole sugya himself above Messiah. Shoimer, Shemos, Ali Shoimer. And Rav Shach said on that particular sugya, I asked a question from Rav Chaim Oizer. Herani Rav Groin Rav Chaim Oizer. Rav Chaim Oizer showed me, Shebesefer Bris Avroam Omad Bekushizu. So there's a sefer called Bris Avroam. The Sefer Bris Avraham is not such a, in Olam HaYeshivas, it's not a common Sefer to learn. It was an Odom Godel. Rav Chaim Oizer had tremendous bekiyas, tremendous knowledge, and he showed Rav Shach, your kash is mentioned in the Sefer Bris Avraham. La'achem mikan, afterwards, b'shuvah leKletzk, here this Rav Shach says, I went back to Kletzk, that's what Rav Shach learned, go back to Kletzk, Mososei found Shagroin Rav Kivega Zatzal, Rekiveger b'marocha, he says, in the area, right? In the area of that sugya, Omat kvarhu al hakushi. He says, he asked that kasha. Now listen to this. So, Rav Chaim Oizer told him who asked the kasha? The Bris Avraham. Rav Shach says, I came home, I saw Rekiveger asking the kasha. Rav Shach commented, it's 100% in my mind, no doubt, Rav Chaim Oizer knew it was Rekiveger's kasha, because he knew all Rekiveger by heart. But he didn't tell Mr. Bukhari's kasha, because I'd be embarrassed. How come I didn't know? So he told me the kasha is in Bris Avraham. That's an uncommon sefer. It's not a common sefer. So my busha would not be so great not knowing. You don't have to know every Bris Avraham. It's not a sefer that's learned in all the yeshivas. Shach, this is the way he interpreted it. He says, when I saw that was Rabbi Kirika's kasha, I knew right away Rabbi Chaim Moshe had to know it's Rabbi Kirika. But that's not what he told me. Because he did not want, he spared me the embarrassment, then how come I didn't know it's Rabbi Kirika? I'm learning the sugi. If you're learning the sugi, you should know Rabbi Kirika on the sugi. He didn't want to embarrass me. So Rabbi Chaim Moshe instead said, it's a Bris Avraham's kasha. Shows again the sensitivity of Rabbi Chaim Moshe. Look what he says. Borally, Omar Moran Zatzal. It's clear to me, he said. It's clear to me. Shem Chaim Moshe Yoda Shizu Kushes Rabbi Kiveger. Shaydiv Rabbi Kiveger Hoyeshigurim Alashoinoi. He knew all Rabbi Kiveger. It was on his tongue. He knew all Rabbi Kivegers. Verak only Kadesh Loy Levi Sheni Alkach. But he didn't want to embarrass me. Shoshalti Shalz Rabbi Kiveger. I asked Rabbi Kiveger's Kashi of Lo Yadati and I didn't know that this is Shalos Rabbi Kiveger. Lachay normally, therefore instead, Chaim Moshe said this is the Bris Avraham's Kashi. Because that's not such a bush if I don't know a Bris Avraham's Kashi. But not one Rabbi Kiveger's Kashi. That would be a big bush. So it says to him. So I want to tell you something which I heard from someone. One of the great Bikiyim we talk about from time to time was Hagoyen Rabbi Pinchas Hirschsprung, Zechoyen Lebrocha. The Pinchas Hirschsprung was a tremendous Baki. Literally, he was one of the prized Talmidim of Rav Meir Shapir in Lublin. He lived in Montreal. He was actually chief rabbi in Montreal. And he actually knew Shas Baal Peh, literally like a computer. He knew it word for word. And when we say knowing Shas, that's an embarrassment the way we think about someone knowing Shas. It goes way above and beyond. He really knew it word for word. He was able to say word for word. He was able to say Tosfos word for word. Because in addition to having a phenomenal memory, he was a tremendous masmid. He would sit and learn every moment of the day. I mean, this is a tremendous masmid. So you have a mind, such a memory. Plus being such a masmid, you put that together. So this you produce that kind of greatness. A tremendous bekiyas. I heard him say a tazin yeredeya with a lashon. He started verbatim, quoting. I mean, areas that it's a mind-boggling type of a bekiyas. Rav Hirschsprung said, and so he already was a Baki Bishas already as, well, it was still before he got married. When he was, it could have been 19, 20, 21, that age, he already knew Shas Baal Peh. He knew it. He meets Rav Chaim Moshe. And it was a meeting of Rabbonim. And Rav Hirschsprung was there. He was in his 20s. A certain discussion of Torah, you know, came up on the table. A certain discussion of Torah comes up on the table. And Rav Hirschsprung says, it's a Tosfos, he says, in Masechet Sanhedrin. I'm just quoting, just anyway. Assuming he said that. Let's use that. He said, it's a Tosfos in Masechet Sanhedrin. And Chaim Moshe says to him, I think it's a Masechet Malkus. It's a different Masechet. Now, Hirschsprung said, he says, I was a young Mechutzus, he says, and I said, no, it's a Masechet Sanhedrin. Chaim Moshe didn't argue with me. He just said it very humbly. He said, I think it's in Malkus. I think it's in. So Rav Hirschsprung said, well, let's take out a Gemara right here and let's find it. So I was ready to go to the store. I'm going to take out a Gemara. And Rav Chaim Moshe said, not over here. There's too many people around. It might be embarrassing. There's too many Rabbonim over here. Let's wait till everybody leaves. He said, everybody left. We took out the Gemara. Who do you think was right? Rav Chaim Moshe, not me. Rav Chaim Moshe said, let's wait until later. People thought Rav Chaim Moshe was worried that he might be embarrassed. He was saving my COVID. So at the risk of people thinking Rav Chaim Moshe wasn't so sure of himself, so he says, let's wait till everybody leaves, not to have the showdown right in front of him. He was worried. And the truth is, he says, I was a young Mechutzif. I deserved, he says, to get, right, to be patched from Rav Chaim Moshe. I deserved it. He should have embarrassed me to teach me a lesson. But that's what an Odom Godel is. An Odom Godel, who's a Godel B'Yisrael, like a Chaim Moshe, risked the appearance of making it look like that he's not Chaim Moshe, not sure of himself. At the end of the day, Chaim Moshe was right, he says, and I was wrong.